Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Good evening. It seems like he gets more excited each week to present. Here's Dr. Williams. But anyway, welcome to the program tonight. My name's Greg Williams. This is my home right here in the medical center of the most beautiful city in the world, Houston, Texas. And it is just great to have you with us tonight. And I have a brand new computer being set up after last week's fiasco with computers. I pushed all those laptops to the side and made sure I got one that was working. So I want to apologize for last week. And you had to stick and listen to me for an hour. But hopefully we have our guest already lined up. And she is here ready to talk and share and a story that you will want to lean into tonight. Some stories you can sit back and just listen this way. But I think this one tonight, you're going to be like this, trying to get, because it's such a inspiring and enticing story. So just enjoy the program. And if you want to get involved, there's several different ways you can do that tonight. And we have no preference which way you do it. You can get on Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. My youngest son, Curtis, is in Seattle, Washington right now running that. And I want to make sure that's up and up before I tell you all it's going. Make sure he's doing his work. He's in the United States Army. Yeah, so if he can handle what he's doing in the Army, he can surely handle Facebook. So he's got that going. And then you can also call in right to the Thomas at the BBS radio station at 888-627-6008. Or here's my personal cell phone number, 832-396-6525. And you can call right here, or not call, but text. I don't want to get calls during the show, but text. And I will be right here. And during the commercial break, I will scroll down to see if anybody has a comment or a question for our guest tonight. Looking over at the NRG Stadium where the Texans play, there is the Houston Rodeo going on right there right now. And it's been going on for about a week. I think he's got another 2 or 3 weeks to go. Every night there is a huge country star or jazz star or rock star. Somebody's there every night. And thousands of people right across the street here. There's some traffic sometimes in that area is pretty tough, but welcome to the program tonight. I really think that if you invest, and tonight's going to be one of those that I think this is a money back guarantee. If this costs you anything, it doesn't, but if it did, you could ask for a refund if you're not satisfied, because I think you're going to be satisfied tonight. As we open up the program, it seems like happiness and circumstances, adversity, anxiety, can come and go. And then when those bad things happen and it hits us, it can actually break us down. And I've been thinking about some things this week. And I just jotted some things down and I want to just share. And when the doctor comes on, she may say, hey, I listened to what you just said the last few moments, and this is where you're wrong, because she has way more wisdom on this than I do. I have more, and I'm sure she does too, but I have, my wisdom comes from experience of going through trauma and anxiety myself and how I dealt with that. And I still deal with those situations. There's still good days and bad days. And I just want to throw a couple things out at you before we have our guest on, and then she can comment on if she wants to, or just talk about her own experiences. But There's going to be down days, and I still have those. There's down evenings. There's down seasons for me. And I want to let you know that those are completely normal. Nobody that's never even had a trauma in their life doesn't have all zippity-doo-dah days. They all go through ups and downs. And when you have a down day or a bad day, a day that you just wish you could just erase off the calendar, don't feel guilty about that. Don't put too much weight on that and damn yourself for that. That's just natural ups and downs, and it's called life. So I want you to keep things in perspective and understand that, and normally, and I try to recognize this in my own personal walk, that when I have a great day or something fantastic happens today, for instance, just had right there at the hospital where I work at, my granddaughter was just born a couple hours ago. Haven't got a chance to see her yet. But that is one of those days that you think, wow, I'll never forget this day of getting to hold her and look into her eyes and see another gift of a child. But I'm smart enough to know that sometimes when you have those best days, be ready and brace yourself because something could be right around the corner that is just going to cut you off at your knees. Those good and bad days, those ups and downs, don't put too much weight into those down days. Keep them in perspective. Sometimes when I have them, I cause more of them to happen over time. When you're at your lowest point, you need to understand that you are open to your greatest positive change available for you. Your hardest times often lead to the greatest moments of your life. So just keep on going. Tough situations build strong people at the in the end. And there's a huge difference in our life from giving up and moving on. There's been things that I have attempted to do that I always had on my bucket list or wanted to do. And I realized that, hey, wait, it's time to give that up. I'm not wired that way. I'm not going to be able to do that. And that's okay. So just to give up doesn't mean that that is a failure. It just means I'm wise enough to know that I'm not going to waste my time on that. I'm going to move on to something that I can actually am wired for and created for. And many of us hang on to, I'm going to keep on doing this when we ought to realize that, hey, wait, it's not meant to happen. Let it go and move on. Just a couple more. Too often, and I would really like to get the doctor's perspective on this tonight. Too often, we carry around the things from our past that hurts us. And hardships often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny. And I believe in my second book, I started off with this opening sentence. Could it be that the worst possible trauma and pain that you've experienced in your life, could it be that that could be used as the key to open up the destiny for the rest of your life? Are we experiencing something, and when we overcome it, can we use it in such a way to be able to help people that we would have never been able to help before? And I believe that that is true. I know that's true in my case because I never would have until I got the help that I need. You never get over your adversity. You just learn how to deal with it better. It doesn't get any easier. I think sometimes I just learned that I'm a little stronger every day as I tell my story or I deal with it. And the problem sometimes, and I can't remember who said this, but the problem sometimes is not the problem. The problem is the attitude I have about the problem. And when I finally realized and took the mask off and was able to look into the people's eyes into the world and say, "Hey, wait, I was sexually abused. I was sold by my father as a teenager to hundreds of people in traffic." Until I was able to verbalize that, I was playing a game. And now I can almost say, I'm not glad it happened, but it made me who I am today. So I don't want to erase those times. I want to use that as platforms and stepping blocks and stones to be able to elevate me to a place that I would have never gotten to if I kept the mask off, if I kept pretending that, hey, I'm okay, and ignoring the pain until I got help. And I think it was Winston Churchill that said the last thing, that if you're actually going through hell, keep going. Keep on going. And if you're going through something tonight that has got you down and you don't know if you're ever going to get out of it, don't stop, because you're right in the middle of it. Keep on going. Keep on moving forward, and there's always hope. Okay, that's all I got tonight. I'm really so excited I've re just read the book this week, to welcome to our program Dr. Angela Glasser Bowers. And she is a clinical psychologist in one of my favorite places in the country, Scottsdale, Arizona, out by Phoenix, Arizona. And she's been out there for several decades. We won't say how many, because it may age her. It may put a date on her. We're not going to do that tonight, if only if she wants to. But she's earned a master's degree in clinical and communicable psychology and community psychology, and then continued her education at California School of Professional Psychology, where she earned her PhD. She has all kinds of different approaches that I'm interested in, and I want to really pick her brain. So we're going to drill down deep inside of her head tonight. But she wrote a book that I recommend everybody to get a hold of, and it is called Overcoming. And you will want to hear about this story. So I want to welcome to the program tonight. It's my honor to welcome Dr. Bowers. Doctor, can you hear me tonight?
Yes, I can. Thank you so much for having me tonight.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I really appreciate being here.
Well, it's an honor, and I wanted to let you know that I don't blow wind very often when it comes to books. So every time I read a book and I have a guest on, and I'll say, "Hey, you need to look at this. Look it up on Amazon, and buy that if you want." And then there's some days that I say, "Hey, wait, this is a book you all need to read." And tonight's one of those books that everybody needs to read. And I appreciate the way you write, and the way you help, and your perspective on things that I never looked at and noticed before in the way you present it was really, really inspirational. So I appreciate your writing.
Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate what you said. And also, as you know, the book was written by me, but there were also lots of parts where the client had her input, her writings, her poems, her faxes to me, her emails, and she was a pretty great writer too. So I think having the story told from both perspectives, both mine as the therapist and hers as the client, really made that the book, I think, that much more dynamic.
I do too. And doctor, tell me, is there another book that does that? Because I don't recall having the doctor and client deal with the life and the trauma, and this is their different perspectives. That was brilliant.
Right. No, I don't think I've seen any other books that have both perspectives. It's usually the therapist talking about their clients. But so yeah, that this made it, I think, very unique and just interesting, because she saw things sometimes so differently than I did, especially when she was so discouraged by what had happened to her in the past. And I kept holding that hope for her, that things would get better. But before we start talking about the book, I just wanted to comment on a few of the things that you said. Is that okay?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're just sitting around for an hour talking.
Okay. So you said about the down days and the down seasons, and the first thought that came to me is, yes, I agree with you that we have down days and maybe sometimes even weeks, but I think it's being willing to get out of it. And how long do you stay in it? if you're feeling really down and it seems to go on much longer than you'd want, that's the time to talk to other people, talk to your friends, talk to your family, talk to a therapist, so that you don't suffer unnecessarily. You know, a lot of times people think they have to figure it all out themselves. And having someone to talk with and bounce ideas off of and share feelings, I think, is one of the quickest ways to have these down days or down weeks or down seasons kind of turn around. The other thing you were talking about is that tough situations create strong people. And I completely agree with that. And what I often tell people, especially when they come into my office in a crisis situation, is, you know what, embrace this crisis, because that's when we change the most. When things are so tough and you feel like there's nowhere else to go, that's when you're going to make the changes. So that was something I wanted to let you know I agreed with. And then you said something about carrying things from the past. And yes, I mean, I don't think that we ever completely let go of our trauma, but we certainly get more and more distance from it, so that the suffering that happened, as you described your own story, maybe the suffering that you experienced 2 years into it, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, however long now it's been, you get more and more perspective, more and more distance. And that, I think, changes how the pain is felt. So, yeah. You know, perhaps that's something that you can relate to also. So then I guess where I might have a little bit of a disagreement, because you said it never gets easier, I kind of think it does get easier over time as we process our wounds, and to your point, as we talk about them and not hold them inside. So many times people don't want to talk about their abuse because they feel so much shame and responsibility. And this, my client in the book Overcoming, I was the first person she ever talked to. And I think just being able to open up to me over time, as you know, the beginning of the book was pretty hairy in terms of how she came in and the things I went through as a therapist, the very first few sessions of our work together. But I think having someone who would believe her and hear her story, that in itself starts the healing process. Perhaps you felt that too.
Yeah. Why is it that people, and me included, why is it that when we experience trauma, our tendency is always to isolate instead of gravitate toward people? And you mentioned that that's an important step to make, that when you're having those bad times, talk to people. But the naturalness and the human nature is to isolate, is to pull back, get into that dark room, and maybe nobody will notice you, and then you're alone for days. What is that about human nature that causes us to avoid discussion when we have those bad times and seasons in our life?
I think it differs for men. I think men have a very hard time in our culture being vulnerable. I don't think we teach our boys about vulnerability. And so men think if they open up and talk about their pain, that they're considered weak. I think that's changing a little bit, but I don't know that it's changed enough. So I think that that's part of it. So the unwillingness to be vulnerable. And I think there's also a lot of times, I mentioned it a minute ago, shame involved. And when people feel shame, they don't really want to talk about it. And I think that goes for men and women. So there's a sense of isolation. Sometimes too, I think people, maybe this is more for women, they feel like they don't want to burden anyone. They don't want to talk about it because it's so negative. I mean, I guess there's a variety of reasons, but I think it boils down to, are you willing to be vulnerable? Are you willing to be uncomfortable? Because it's through our discomfort that we grow the most. So it takes a lot of courage. In my office, I have a really beautiful sign that says courage. And everyone that walks in that my office sees that sign on the door and or on the wall. And I think it takes a lot of courage to deal with these kinds of hard issues. So I would say that's probably what it is. It's mainly the difficulty being vulnerable and the difficulty talking about shame. And like I said, I think it's worse for men, although in the last probably 5 years, I have more male clients. For a long time, it was primarily women, children, and couples. And I would say that shifted now. And I have a fair amount of individual males who are coming in to learn how to be softer, to be vulnerable, to be able to communicate better with their partners, to be more involved dads. So, you know, all kinds of good things are happening.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because when you mentioned men earlier, I was thinking I was going to do a follow-up question with that and ask how your client ratio is with men. Why do you feel that the last few years that men have come out from behind that dark curtain? I'm writing a book right now for men and boys, Overcoming the Darkness. I can't remember the name I put on the book, but that's terrible. Hiding in the Darkness.
Okay.
And you know, what do you think it is that has caused in the last few years men to be able to step out into that light a little bit and share?
I think that part of what's happening is that there are more role models of people stepping out. There are podcasters who talk about their pain. There's a particular podcast that I listen to quite a bit. It's called The Armchair Expert. And Dax Shepard is the main person on that podcast. And he talks about his abuse. He was sexually abused. He talks about his trauma, his alcoholism. And there are athletes who've come out and talked about stress and the difficulties that they've experienced. So I think there's more role modeling happening among men, and men see that that's something that they actually can do and grow from. So I think that's a big part of it. And I think probably in our movies and television programs, there's a little bit more openness also that male characters display. So I think it's, we're going in the right direction.
Yeah, I agree. I really want to get in to, and I know we won't be able to cover it all before the commercial break, but tell me about what caused you to be interested in writing a book on this client and start letting us inside of that relationship, that story, and how it was like, wait, the world needs to hear this. The world needs to read about this.
So she was a client who came into me very reluctantly. She was brought in by her boss, who basically said, if you don't get therapy, you're not going to have a job. And so it started out with a lot of difficulty. But over the course of working with her, I realized that she was so complex and was dealing with so many issues that she would be a great person to write about, because almost anyone can relate to something that she's gone through. So she had complex PTSD, sexual abuse. She had abandonment issues. She had major depressive disorder, anxiety. One could probably say she was diagnosable as a borderline personality disorder. So a huge sense of unworthiness. So having so many different issues brought up, I figured if somebody reads this book, they're going to relate to something. Maybe they haven't been abused, but they've been depressed, or they've been anxious, or they felt hopeless, or they have been betrayed. And so that's why she was such a good person to write about. And I had saved all my notes when we worked together, and all of her notes to me, so that the book itself was a very quick, it came out very quickly. I wrote the book at the beginning of the pandemic, and it only took 2 months to write.
Wow.
Which is pretty quick. But what happened then was I had to get, obviously, I had her permission to write the book, but then she had to read it. And it took her a year to read the book. I couldn't publish it until she had read the story, until I got her okay. And so, because again, it was such a hard story, even for her to reread, even though she had done so well, it took a while. But anyway, the book is, it's about overcoming. That's why I titled it so, because she did overcome so many of the kinds of things that bring people into therapy, but she had them all at once.
Yeah, I think that's one reason that I highly recommend this, because I'm sitting here thinking of all the people that I counsel. I was, as I was reading it, it was like, oh, this person needs that. Oh, this person has PTSD, a complex PTSD. Oh, this person goes, and you're exactly right. There's so many different webs that she experienced this book covers anybody will be able to relate. And I love that interaction back and forth from both sides of it. It's wonderful.
You know, and the other thing that's interesting about this book is not only do we explore her past, but as you might remember, there's a part in the book where she gets into another really hair-raising event where that re-traumatized her. And so once again, even as an adult, she entered into the trauma that she had as a child. So it was so multi-layered. It wasn't only, okay, we're going to process your past and you're going to get through it. No, she got right into it during our therapy. And so I did therapy with her based on the current trauma and then her past trauma, if you remember that part of the book that was pretty hair-raising.
Yeah. When you meet with a client, and if somebody's out there and they've never tried therapy, how long does it typically take when that client is in front of you and you're having sessions before you crack through a layer of seeing some type of aha recovery opportunity? How long does that process take for you as a doctor?
So the process can be almost instantaneous. It can happen sometimes in the first session. There are clients who have come in and have only needed one session. They had an issue. They couldn't figure it out. We figured it out. Off they went. And then there are other clients, it may take several sessions, sometimes months, to be able to really have the clarity to move forward and know what direction to go in and how to interpret some of their things. So there isn't really, I think it just depends a lot on the person's willingness to be open. Obviously, the more open a client is willing to be, which is also tied in with the courage, the quicker the therapist will be able to be helpful and lend some insight and hopefully some suggestions. You know, one of the things that you might know, are you a therapist also?
No, I'm a counselor. I'm not a licensed therapist, no.
Okay. But as you probably know, there are so many different modalities that therapists can employ. And so these days, there are certain therapists that deal with trauma, and they might employ something like EMDR or EFT. EMDR is the rapid eye movement desensitization that people use for trauma. And that can help people almost within the first one or two sessions. They often don't need more than about 5 or 10 sessions if they use that kind of technique. Or EFT, emotional freedom technique, which is kind of a strange technique, but it can really work with people who have trauma as well. And so depending upon the orientation of the therapist, that also dictates how quickly a client might feel a sense of satisfaction or insight or changes in their behavior. You know, years ago, I would say before my time, but certainly still when I started graduate school, there was a heavy emphasis on psychoanalytic therapy, which basically involved the classic person laying on the couch, free associating, the therapist doesn't say much. Well, to me, that's just a bunch of hogwash and a huge waste of time and money. So for people who have anxiety or depression, family conflict that they're trying to resolve, I think that one of the best strategies is to find a therapist who does something that's basically called CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, because how we talk to ourselves dictates how we feel. So if you understand your thoughts and perhaps where those thoughts came from, you can make some inroads pretty quickly.
That's great. Tell you what, we're going to take a commercial break. On the other side of this commercial break, Doctor, I want to find out, you have so many different avenues, routes of therapy that you use. I want to find out from you, which one do you find? Because EMDR did not help me whatsoever. I went to the best therapist supposedly in the world, right a block away. Spent $400 for 45-minute sessions, cash money, week after week after week. And it was one of those sit in a chair, more like lay on a couch type thing. Worthless, absolutely worthless. I went 6 months, didn't get nothing from him except him sitting here going, and how did that feel? And it was like, oh, I wasted my time, money. It was terrible. I thought I'm never going to go back
Well, that must
to
have been
another one.
analytic therapy. That wouldn't have been EMDR because
No,
EMDR.
I went to EMDR too. That
Oh,
wasn't with them. That was in a different place. But I saw both sides of those, and neither one helped me, but I know EMDR does certain people. But I want to find out on the other side of the commercial break what avenues and how do you figure out which avenue for which client? And then I want to hear a little bit more about the client in overcoming. We'll be
okay.
right back with Dr. Bowers right after this, about a minute, 22 second commercial break. Hang with us. We'll be right back.
HCI Publishing that brought you the international bestsellers A Child Called It and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Welcome back. We have Dr. Angela Bowers with us tonight. She is the author of a book called Overcoming. I would like for her to just hold that up right now. You can get this right now, I believe. Is the best way to get this is on Amazon, doctor? Is that what your preference is or another way?
You can get this book on Amazon. It's on Kindle. It's on Audible. Or if people want to support their local small bookstore, you can order it and they'll order it for you and you can get it there as well.
On the Audible version, did either you or your client provide the voices?
No, I wanted to, but they wanted to hire a professional voice person instead. So it's not me, but I think she did a pretty decent job. I would have preferred to have read my book myself, but that just
Yeah.
wasn't, I wasn't famous enough, basically.
Well, I highly recommend everybody to get on that right now. While you're listening to us, scan on Amazon and type in Dr. Bowers Overcoming, and it'll come right up. And it is a good, good read. Do you believe that anybody with any problem can benefit from the right type of therapy? And I, by all means, I don't want anybody to think that I was against EMDR. I am not. I'm a big advocate of it. It just didn't help me. But do you believe that there's a benefit for everybody that has gone through some type of anxiety to be able to reach out to a therapist?
I think that most people can benefit from seeing a therapist. I think especially for things like anxiety or depression, for sure. Now, there are some populations, some groups that have a very, very hard time with any kind of therapy. And they do best with medication management. That would be people who are very mentally ill, who are maybe so paranoid that they wouldn't trust a therapist, or there are people that maybe wouldn't benefit from therapy, but maybe medication management, and that would be primarily the severely mentally ill. But for the
Right.
most part, yes. And you know, I see clients, I see children, and then my oldest client right now is 96. So,
Wow.
and everything in between. And so it's really cool because people of all ages are wanting to learn new things, wanting to improve. And I think the whole atmosphere around therapy's changed. It's not something that people have to do in secret anymore. You know, people talk about their therapy. And I went to a gathering once that was a huge group, and across the room, I hear someone saying, "Oh, there's Dr. Bowers. She's my therapist." You know, I mean, that wouldn't have happened years ago, but now I don't think there's as much of a stigma going to therapy as there may have been a decade or two or three ago.
Well, you know, I think that's one of the pros, one of the few positive things that came out of COVID. We all have issues now. There's not one person in existence that doesn't have, because we all went through that together. So everybody needs to at least reach out for help on something. Do you have a large Indian culture in Scottsdale? Because I know the different cultures handle therapy and their resistance to it differently. Hispanic culture deals with it completely different. African American deals with it. What's your wisdom on the different cultures of handling therapy?
I think that right next to us is the Pima Indian Reservation. And then there is a small group of Native Americans right in Scottsdale, right in Old Town Scottsdale, that have some property. And then, of course, north of Phoenix is the Navajo, the Zuni tribe, and they pretty much stick to themselves. I have, over decades now of working, I have only a few times had a Native American client. So I'm not as familiar. I do think that they have family ties and family traditions that are very helpful. I know when we went up to the Navajo Nation about 2 years ago, they still have traditions where every morning they walk to the sun, they walk to the east. So they have certain traditions that help with mental health, but they also have a lot of their own problems that I think a lot of therapists will go onto the reservation where they have a clinic there and do therapy with them rather than the Native Americans coming in to Scottsdale. So I have a few colleagues who work on the reservation, that work on the Navajo reservation, on the Pima reservation. So it's usually psychologists will go out to them.
Do you find that, at least in the ones there, I have heard through the grapevine or through different organizations that the Indian culture has some of the highest suicide rates?
They do, and they have very, very high alcohol and drug.
Alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. And they have they're very unhealthy physically as well. And so they're diabetic. And as you know, I'm sure, a lot of our moods are impacted by what's going on in our body. So if you have blood sugar issues, if you eat a lot of sugar, eat a lot of foods that are inflammatory, you're not going to feel good. And we know now more and more too, and this has come out probably within the last, I'd say 10 years, how much the gut microbiome impacts our mood. Even such things as low vitamin levels. If you have low vitamin D, you can feel depressed. And out here where the sun shines like 340 days a year, people also have low vitamin D levels because they're inside all the time. You know, so we're out in the sunshine now from March till about May or June, and then people hibernate inside. So when people come in to see me with depression, for example, I'll often ask them, how often do you get outside? What are you eating? How much alcohol are you drinking? What's your support system like? You know, because there's so many factors that are even things like, what's your thyroid functioning? When's the last time you had your blood work done? Because sometimes a low thyroid can present itself as depression. So there are a lot of factors that tie into mental health that are not just the mental part, but also our physical and our spiritual well-being.
So is that how you got into this holistic approach too? Because I think it's awesome that you do have such a broad spectrum of mm-hmm. wisdom in your therapy. How important do you, how much weight do you put into that holistic side and
a
approach?
Lot. I put a lot of weight into it. And so regular exercise is something that I advocate for everyone if they can. And I think I've really developed quite an interest in nutrition for mental health and have taken some certifications in that specifically, because I think it all ties in. You know, if we don't eat well, if we don't get enough sleep, we're not going to feel good.
Right.
You know, people look to medication quickly. You know, what can I take? What can I take for my anxiety? What can I take for my depression? And what I like to do is say, let's look at your life and let's see what lifestyle changes we can make to help you feel better, because there are so many. I mean, even such things as taking fish oils and getting outside, you know, when we get out in the sun, we make more serotonin. You know, there's little things that can make big differences. So I
Do
tend
you
to go
believe
out.
our creator put us in an environment to where nature, sun, proper foods, could automatically help us heal
Yes.
within ourselves?
Yes, I certainly do. And, you know, in Japan, they get scripts from the doctor for what they call forest bathing. And it's essentially go outside when you're feeling really stressed out. If you can go for a walk, especially, well, you live in a city, so you would maybe go to a city park. But if you live anywhere where there are trees and forests and mountains, that is so healing and medicinal. And people forget that, you know, they just don't remember that those are the kinds of things that really make us feel grounded. You know, even taking your shoes off and standing in the grass with just bare feet to ground you when you're anxious. You know, just these kind of little things. And this is also, I think, too, where some of the Native American practices have a lot more wisdom than we do, because I think that they are tied into Mother Nature probably more so.
So when you had this client that you wrote the book with, did you use all these different levels and facets of therapy to do a complete overhaul of her being able to have that overcoming experience?
Yes, we did. So we did certainly cognitive behavioral therapy.
Yeah.
We did. I had her over the years keep a food journal. She lost 80 pounds as we were working together. We did. I had her exercise. And, you know, one of the things about me in this particular book is I went maybe what I would say is a little bit outside of the traditional boundaries that a client and a therapist have with each other. So I actually described in the book that I would meet her at the gym and I had it hired a trainer and we would work out together. Now, most therapists would never do that. And I don't typically do that either. It's not something that I go out and work out with my clients. But in this particular case, I was more than her therapist. I was also a parent to her. I was parenting her in a way that she had never been parented. I was her probably 20 years older than she was. And so my ability to step in as a parent figure was, I think, part of what healed her so well. So I did some things with her that most therapists wouldn't do. And going to the gym and getting regular exercise was part of her mood stabilization for sure. And also meeting her at church. I felt like she was really yearning for more of a spiritual grounding, a spiritual a relationship with her maker or something that had more depth to it. And I knew though she would never go on her own, that she just wasn't able to do that. So then meeting her there and having her listen to the sermons and then being able to process those, that was very meaningful to her. And I think that
Oh, I'm
that was
sure.
also, yeah, one of the modalities.
Well, I'll tell you what, that you should be applauded for being that champion in her, because I haven't heard of a therapist that's done all that with their client, and that is absolutely awesome. So for the people that are listening tonight in the last 15 minutes we have, what's some of those tips that you think are really vital for depression, stress, anxiety, trauma, they're dealing with just bad days. What's some of those things that you would automatically go, hey, you ought to, have you tried this? Have you tried this? You ought to try this. What's some of those things that automatically pour out of you to be able to help our people tonight that may be hurting?
The first thing that comes to my mind as you ask that question is, how are you speaking to yourself? Are you talking to yourself like you would a good friend? Because so many people create depression or anxiety because they're so hard on themselves. Oh, I was such an idiot. Why did I do that? What's wrong with me? You know, those are the kinds of things that people say, partly because that's what they heard as a child. You know, what's
Yeah.
wrong with you? So they are very hard on themselves. So I guess the first thing that I would do is ask a person to be their own best friend. Then, in terms of anxiety and depression, I would say make sure that you're not spending excessive amounts of time on social media,
Oh.
because we know now, and you know, obviously it's all over the news, that the more time people spend on social media, the more depressed they get and the more anxious they are. That also has to do with watching the news. Don't sit and watch the news all day long or even for hours at a time. If you need to know what's going on, and we all do, take snippets of it or read a little bit on your phone or read the newspaper, but don't watch hours of Fox News or CNN or any of those, because they make us more depressed. The research is very clear that the more you watch the news, the more depressed you'll be. Are you getting exercise? You know, we already talked about that, because that's such an important part of coping with depression and anxiety. And then there are certain practices that I recommend for anxiety and depression that have to do with how we breathe. You know, obviously we breathe all the time, but if you take a moment every day, 5 minutes a day, maybe broken up into a minute and a half here, a minute and a half there, a minute there, and to breathe deeply, where you inhale, say for the count of three, and you hold for three, and you exhale for six. So 3 seconds in, hold for three, 6 seconds out. That activates the relaxation response. There's all kinds of wonderful breathing exercises that people can do. I know the Navy SEALs, they do what they call the box breathing. Maybe your son is familiar with the box breathing, since you mentioned he's in the, is he in the Army, did you
He's
say?
In the Army.
Yes. So they might have taught him box breathing, which is you breathe in for four, you hold for four, you breathe out for four, and you hold for four. And the Navy SEALs do that type of breathing before they go into a mission. So it's to calm their nerves down. It's to steady them. So it's definitely something to do. And there are also, you know, people have enjoyed yoga. Well, yoga is great, but what people maybe don't understand is how wonderful it is for the autonomic nervous system to shift into the relaxation mode. So even doing 5, 10, or 15 minutes of stretching every day will activate the relaxation response and typically makes us feel better.
And does it automatically release some endorphins and things in your body that automatically helps you, again, back to our creator, helps our body fix itself?
When we exercise, we do make chemicals that make us feel good. There are certain meditations that that are taught. There's a gentleman named Dr. Joe Dispenza who teaches particular types of meditation that make people actually create chemicals in their brain that can really activate a wonderful state of mind beyond just being peaceful. It's almost like going into a dream state. And so, you know, people are often afraid of meditation, but meditation, it's doesn't have to be so complicated. You know, sitting in a quiet space, just watching your breath, noticing your thoughts, not attaching to your thoughts, but just letting them come and go. That's meditation. It doesn't have to be that hard. And, you know, these days, there are so many apps. There's one in particular that I recommend to a lot of my clients because it doesn't cost anything. It's called Insight Timer. So Insight, INSIGHT, Timer, is an app for the phone. There are literally thousands of meditations on that app that people can use. And that's wonderful to not only fall asleep to at night, but to take a break during the day, especially if you're having a particularly tough day, and do anywhere between 2 and 10 minutes of meditation. And that's really wonderful for, again, for the mind, for the body. And so these are all small things we can do that make a big difference.
What about journaling? Do you believe in that?
I do. A lot of people are resistant to it, but the research is very clear that people who journal, they've compared people who journal and people who don't. And those that do typically feel better after 8 weeks. So it's not immediate. But one of the things that you might have taught your clients as well is the work by Dr. Martin Seligman, who has been studying positive psychology. And he says, when you journal, also write down three positive things that happened that day, the day that you're journaling about, and how you had an impact in making those things positive. Because now what you're doing is you're looking at the positive, but you're also seeing what's called self-efficacy, you know, how we can make a difference. You know, people often say, If you feel depressed, go help someone else.
Oh,
Because
that's good.
we naturally feel so much better when we're helping someone. And so this journaling, which is great, if it's targeted, especially the way I just described, or if you have dinner table conversations with children, you know, ask them, what happened today that you really enjoyed? What was one of your most positive moments? And how did that, not only how did it make you feel, but what did you play? What role did you play in making that such a delightful moment?
Yeah, that's good. We only have a minute or two left. How important is forgiveness?
I think forgiveness is what sets us free. And one of the things that is such a theme in this book is that Emma, my client, was able to forgive her perpetrators. She was able to forgive several people who had violated her and end up having relationships with them. Now, it doesn't mean if you forgive that you necessarily do continue a relationship. But when you don't hold the bitterness in your heart, you've released yourself. And so that's one of the main themes. I guess the two main themes of the book Overcoming is that we have more resiliency than we think we do, and about the power of forgiveness.
Yeah, that's great. Any last words? I want you to hold the book up one more time. Is this book providing to people what you was hoping it would when you started sitting down at the computer typing it?
I've had my clients tell me that that have read this book that it's been very helpful. I've had therapists tell me that they've used some of the strategies that I outline in the book. I mean, what makes this book kind of nice is that I don't just describe what happened, but I describe what to do about it. And so I've had a few therapists contact me. As a matter of fact, my book has been used for continuing ed credits now out in California for psychologists who need to have, well, we all do. We need to have a certain amount of hours to renew our license. And my book has been approved for CEUs, which is cool. So yes, I think it's been really great to know that the things that have been described in this book has been helpful to the reader, other clients, and other therapists.
Fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, doctor, I cannot tell you enough how much I appreciate you being on here. I highly recommend this book, Overcoming, by Dr. Angela Glaser Bowers. And I recommend that you will not be disappointed with it. The version that I got from your publicist was an unbelievable, unbelievable book. And I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed and highly recommend it. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Thank you. Can I just mention one last thing?
You may, absolutely.
Okay, so I have a website that people can go to.
Yeah.
It's called Art of Transformation. And on that website are free recordings to listen to for anxiety and depression. And they're actually quite great. I made them as CDs years ago. Of course, nobody listens to CDs anymore. But I asked my website person if they would put those recordings on my website. So it's called Art of Transformation. If they go under resources, they can pull up a body scan meditation. They can pull up some wonderful breathing exercises that come right out of my yoga training, and then also some great guided imagery.
So if they want to get on the website, it's artoftransformation.com, .org,
yes.
or what?
.com.
.com. Artoftransformation.com.
Yes.
Fantastic. Thank you, doctor. This was great. I'd love to have you back.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed being with you, and I'm going to read your book too.
Hey, fantastic. Appreciate it. And we will hopefully see you soon. And I will be in touch with you probably next week with the comments that we have that I've been getting across my phone. And I appreciate you spending some time with us tonight.
Thank you so much, Greg. Good night.
Okay, good night to you. Like we do each and every show, I always like to end the program. And I believe the doctor is right there with me on this. I know she is. That no matter what you're going through, because her belief in resilience and her belief in forgiveness as being those two things that are most important, that no matter what you're going through in life, lean in here a little bit. There's always hope. There is always, always hope. And there's different ways to find that hope. And that's what I highly recommend this book in, because it looks at all those different ways. And so I encourage you to get the book and get on artoftransformation.com and find out all these different things that you can do to help yourself. Never give up on hope. Join us right here next week, 8 o'clock Central Time, live from Houston, Texas. Next week, we're going to have a person that has written some new books, a dear friend of mine, Kelly Davis, self-guiding journaling. And she has written some new books on that. And we're going to share those with you next week, live on Breaking the Silence. God bless you. Have an awesome, awesome week. And we'll talk soon. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.